Chapter 51. We slammed into freezing mud right outside the little stone house. I think he'd meant to winnow us into it, but his powers had given out. Across the yard I spied Cassian and Moore at the window of the house, eating breakfast. Their eyes went wide, and then they were rushing for the door.
Feyre,
Rhys groaned, bare arms buckling as he tried to rise. I left him lying in the mud and stormed toward the house. The door flung open, and Cassian and Moore were sprinting for us, scanning every inch of our bodies. Cassian realized I was in one piece and hurtled for Rhys, who was struggling to rise, mud covering his bare skin. But Moore saw my face. I went up to her, cold and hollow. "I want you to take me somewhere far away," I said. "Right now." I needed to get away. Needed to think, to have space and quiet and calm. Moore looked between us, biting her lip. "Please," I said, and my voice broke on the word. Behind me, Rhys moaned my name again. Moore scanned my face once more and gripped my hand. We vanished into wind and night. Brightness assaulted me, and I gobbled up my surroundings. Mountains and snow all around, fresh and gleaming in the midday light, so clean against the dirt on me. We were high up on the peaks, and about 100 yards away, a log cabin stood tucked between two upper fangs of the mountains, shielding it from the wind. The house was dark. There was nothing around it for as far as I could see.
"The house is warded, so no one can winnow in. No one can get beyond this point, actually, without our family's permission."
Moore stepped ahead, snow crunching under her boots. Without the wind, the day was mild enough to remind me that spring had dawned in the world, though I'd bet it would be freezing once the sun vanished. I trailed after her, something zinging against my skin.
"You're allowed in," Moore said. "Because I'm his mate?"
She kept wading through the knee-high snow.
"Did you guess, or did he tell you?"
"The Suriel told me, after I went to hunt it for information on how to heal him."
She swore.
Is he all right?"
"He'll live," I said. She didn't ask any other questions, and I wasn't feeling generous enough to supply further information. We reached the door to the cabin, which she unlocked with a wave of her hand. A main wood-paneled room consisting of a kitchen to the right, a living area with a leather sofa covered in furs to the left, a small hall in the back that led to two bedrooms and a shared bathing room, and nothing else.
"We got sent up here for reflection when we were younger," Moore said. "Rhys used to smuggle in books and booze for me."
I cringed at the sound of his name.
"It's perfect," I said tightly.
Moore waved a hand and a fire sprang to life in the hearth, heat flooding the room. Food landed on the counters of the kitchen, and something in the pipes groaned.
"No need for firewood," she said. "It'll burn until you leave."
She lifted a brow as if to ask when that would be. I looked away.
"Please don't tell him where I am."
"He'll try to find you."
"Tell him I don't want to be found. Not for a while." Moore bit her lip.
"It's not my business. Then don't say anything."
She did anyway.
"He wanted to tell you, and it killed him not to. But I've never seen him so happy as he is when he's with you. And I don't think that has anything to do with you being his mate."
"I don't care."
She fell silent, and I could feel the words she wanted to say building up. So I said, "Thank you for bringing me here." A polite dismissal. Moore bowed her head.
"I'll check back in 3 days. There are clothes in the bedrooms and all the hot water you want. The house is spelled to take care of you. Merely wish or speak for things and it'll be done. I only wanted solitude and quiet, but a hot bath sounded like a nice way to start. She left the cottage before I could say anything else.
Alone, no one around for miles, I stood in the silent cabin and stared at nothing.